There's one set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11, 11 listeners.
This is being
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek, the 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast countdown thing that we do every year for the last, several years. I haven't bothered to go back and look. And joining me, as always, is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I am good. How are you? It's a beautiful Sunday here, although it is hot.
Just like you, Lee.
Aww, just like you too,
that's really
John.
Nice. And you smell like cucumbers, so that's really awesome.
My cucumbers are not growing well, though. I'm very upset. My garden is not growing well. It's too hot.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
That is not a euphemism.
Okay, just so we're clear on that. By the way, Lee, did you enjoy the music I added for the previous podcast you're on where you cheated on me?
Which one?
That would be the Armory. I changed the music for you, so you didn't have to hear the, you didn't listen to it yet?
I have not listened to, not to the Armory. No, because you haven't posted it yet, you bastard. You're posting it on Monday, August 6th, and we are doing this on Sunday, August 5th, which is approximately 26 days from Dragon Con.
Well, I see, you know what your problem is? You need to talk to our...
I need a TARDIS.
You need to talk to our guests and see about getting one of those time machines built.
You know what? I do. And I think that this guest could help us do it by coal or, you know, maybe a nuclear fusion reactor using coal. I don't know. But we would like to introduce Doc Q, coal. Everything steampunk is coal.
Funny you should mention that. We actually do have the time machine in our track room this year.
That's very cool.
The H.G. Wells based 1967 movie, The Time Machine.
Yeah,
there's an exact movie replica as seen on The Big Bang Theory in our track room this year.
Oh, that's awesome. Sweet. And you know what? That movie scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
I have no guarantees that it'll actually work, but, you know,
I'll
at the very least, I'm going to give it a try.
Well, and because he's now said this, this is Doc Q with the alternate history track. I mean, who else would have the time machine?
Exactly. Or just Q for short. Dr. Q, whatever you prefer.
Can I just call you Doc?
Many people have. As long as you don't call me late for dinner, I don't care.
Nice. So you are the new track director this year. This is your first year.
Indeed. Student.
We've of course, interviewed the old track directors the last couple of years, and it wasn't, I think that was the reason why they aren't directing now is just because their involvement with other conventions and just the sheer amount of work and time it takes, correct?
Yes. The previous director, Cindy McLeod, is the vice chair for another convention. And they, she had kind of helped start the track, and she got it going for 3 solid years, and you know, felt like she has done all the time she can do, and passed it on along.
You were actually already on the staff, right? Or you had worked with them very closely.
I have been helping them with their various projects. I've been I helped them with their other convention as well as helping them on the staff. Although I was still a paid member for the years that I was helping them.
Right, and I, the only reason why I even mentioned that was just because I know that sometimes directors are asked to no longer volunteer, and that wasn't the case in this case. It was just, and so no one should be upset with anybody for taking over for anybody else. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a time commitment thing. So that's all it was.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, not only that, she kind of handpicked me to take over.
Well, see, that's sweet. There you go.
Which was great. I mean, I got you know, asked to meet up with them. I thought I was in trouble for something, and they said, no, actually, we'd like for you to take over the track. I'm like, oh, so I am in trouble. Yes. I see.
I am in trouble.
It's a special kind of punishment.
Yeah, but. I mean, I do a whole lot of work in the steampunk community. In addition to just to now taking over for the track, but on top of that, I'm a media editor for an online steampunk newspaper. I DJ at steampunk events in which I'm flown out and am a guest and panelist at other shows.
Nice.
And I run my own club here in town that that does alternate history steampunk-esque events four times a year. And so when I got offered this job, I just took the club as the new staff, and the club is, this is our third event this year. So,
nice.
Which is funny because most folks were asking me, so what's it like running Dragon Con? And I looked at them and said, super easy. You guys really, I mean, I have the utmost respect, all these fan track directors. I have it a little different for my track, really, because I don't have really massive media guests to deal with. We have authors, and we have lots of great authors, and we have, you know, the occasional media tie-in here and there, but it's a very nebulous track. So when you're just kind of planning out track content, that's fine. I mean, I'm used to dealing with renting out venues, booking bands, booking right. guests, putting on yeah. the entire show from the ground up. So the fact that I already have everything there and I just need to pick and choose, that is so much easier and less stressful than doing the whole thing up from scratch.
Oh, heck yeah. And I always would say that a part of my anxiety is, and I it is not because I don't trust other people at Dragon Con. I do. I trust everybody who's doing their own job. But a part of it is it's not all mine. And a little bit of a type A personality, which you probably already figured out. And so that it's like, oh, my God, what if everything blows and we have no fuse and we have no microphones and I'm up on the big stage? You know, those are the things those are my anxiety dreams at this point. Now, I'll only have them for 3 to 5 days, but then I'll be fine. But, yeah, you're right. And to do, I love doing the fandom discussions and things like that, because those are always so much fun. You always get some interesting topics. And so and your topics I know are interesting because my son is over in your panels a lot.
Well, thank you. Well, the reason why I think that steampunk as part of what our track represents, but it's a really large majority of the big banner that is alternate history. And the quick, easy way to explain that is alternate history as a whole is playing what if with history. Right. And steampunk is a couple of centuries block of time in that alternate history big umbrella. Whereas the steampunk word is very much of a buzzword that's associated to really anyone adding gears to something. It's more along the lines of a anywhere from early Victorian to late Edwardian era alternate history it's a very creative expression of imagining futures that never were, but you always wish could be. And steampunk in and of itself has no real one thing you can point to that started it all. And it's all about the fans. And it's, I think, a large reason why it is spread so far so quickly and has such a very active and dedicated fan base.
Well, you know, I think one of the other things too is, I am not a sewer. We actually just talked about this on the costuming, but my son is very into this idea of costuming. And I think the thing that's great about steampunk for him is a lot of the stuff we can actually get and somewhat modify that works for him from a steampunk perspective, which has been really, really good. And now he's learning to sew, so it's not going to matter anymore. But I think that's been good. And he's kind of he did one 2 years ago and he was like, I don't know what steampunk is. And I was like, well, what do you want to do? And he just started talking through it. And I'm like, you know, I think you're okay with this. And I gave him some pictures of what other people had done. And this was the ideas. And that, I think, has also done a great deal for steampunk as well. Or am I seeing it from a different perspective you are?
Oh, no. Usually I never want to put blinders on anybody's fun. If they say, is this steampunk? And they give me, like, even the loosest plausible rationale, rest assured I'll always say yes. The key thing is, are you having fun with it? Yes, good. Keep having
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
You know, I am not picky. You know, it's it.
Now, as you kind of alluded to, there, that you are under the heading of alternate history. And so I know as of late, people have started to associate that only with, for a better or worse, only with steampunk. But it actually does cover other things, right? So what are some of the panels that you have that aren't, quote-unquote, steampunk-related in your track?
A great example, considering we're in 2012, I have a panel called Alternate Apocalypse, How Many Ways Can the World End?
Oh, it's a lovely, lovely uplifting track.
Yes, panel. It is. Nice. But we've got S.M. Sterling is one of the panelists there, who's written a lot of different post-apocalyptic-esque novels. We've got people from Penny Dreadful Productions who are doing a web series called Remnant, which is very set in a world after some big cataclysmic event, and all these different perspectives on their own post-apocalyptic worlds and what their what-if point was to get them there. But that's just one example, because most of your post-apocalyptic stuff that doesn't involve zombies falls under my track. If it involves zombies, that would be Apocalypse Rising. One of my first jobs as a director was to learn who, what, and where went to what track, which I still don't quite understand.
That's okay. None of the other directors do either. So
we work together to figure it out.
But in addition to post-apocalyptic stuff, the Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, as an example, some folks call it diesel punk. I prefer to call it either just steampunk or alternate history, depending on what it is we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it certainly wouldn't be, if you're talking very nuts and bolts of it, it wouldn't exactly be steampunk, because we're talking diesel engines, World War II, and Nazis. But it would definitely be alternate history, because you're having these crazy adventures of super science that never really existed in the 20s. A lot of your pulp adventure would be considered alternate history, because they are, postulating what if there was this lost world at the center of the earth. And a lot of what forms the kind of nuts and bolts of sci-fi, H.G. Wells, Jules Verne, some of the early speculative fiction writers, all that kind of folds in into that umbrella. To give some specific, I guess I'm rambling. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're not rambling.
Oh, no, you're doing fine. You're absolutely fine.
You said you've listened to us. You know we like the rambling, although we don't think it's rambling. So,
Another good panel that I hopefully it goes well, we'll see, is I'm doing one called Shades of Sherlock, the various forms and takes of Sherlock Holmes in fiction.
Oh.
Because it's not like Sherlock isn't steampunk, but it was one of the original fan fiction. I mean, Irene Adler's adventures was, bordering on Mary Sue at some points, but it was huge in the States because she fled to America, and that was her whole escape route in one of the various popular serials. A lot of your dime fiction and all that things of the era. And there's, of course, the remakes and all that, but we're treading a fine line of Brit Track is handling more of the modern Sherlock and the original classic BBC, and we're taking the what ifs of people doing their own versions of Sherlock Holmes. I'm just looking over the schedule real quick. We've added some adult programming, and in the late night things is we've got Victorian Gothic literature, the Brontes, Dickens, Stoker, and others. Is an example of not really overtly steampunk. And let's see. Ooh, one of my favorite ones that I was happy to come up with was the Jack the Ripper, Many Faces of the Murderer. The variations of Jack the Ripper, stories inspired by remakes of, retellings of, and all the various theories.
Are you going to do the Time After Time movie?
I hope one of the panelists will do it. I'm actually not going to be on the panel.
Okay, I was like, oh, I love that movie. It's one of those kind of, I just adore that movie. I'm sorry, I do. I think it's like the cutest movie ever.
A cute movie too about Jack the Ripper? Okay.
Well, the love story part of it is a really cute thing. Yeah, the Jack the Ripper part's bad, but I love that movie. I do. I can watch that movie anytime it's on. Yes.
One panel that I'm pretty sure is going to be pretty big is called The World is Bigger Than England, Multiculturalism and Alternate History.
Oh, yeah. Liking that one.
Because even when you're stepping away from steampunk, a whole lot of your fiction is set in like British Empire or, you know, Her Royal Majesty or, you know, what if the Americans didn't win the war and everything's British? But you'll always find Britain in there somewhere in most of your fiction. So there's been a big push in a lot of the alternate history communities of focusing on other cultures. And that's what that panel is going to be all talking about.
Nice. That's actually pretty cool.
Yep.
Are you covering anything from Back to the Future?
Last year we got that handled. So this year we are not on it per se. However, there's going to be a Props for Time Travelers panel in which people will be talking about the various ways to depict time travel from a prop making perspective. Because I actually opened my track when I did the track planning to open web submission for the track fans. And I was honestly expecting somebody to want to do an actual, you know, nuts and bolts of time travel panel. We've done them in the years past. You know, you've covered everything from the TARDIS to the DeLorean to the, you know, Bill and Ted's phone booth and all points between, but no one asked for it. So we're going to take it and give it a year off.
Okay. Yeah.
Happens.
Let me ask you, just on a personal note, if you okay, I got a problem here. Oh, sorry. If you could actually go back in time, I got shiny things happening in the corner of my eye. If you could go back in time and change one event, just to see, just as an experiment. Now you could always go. You could always have a magic erase board. What event would you change to see what would happen in alternate history? I know, kind of threw you for a loop with a different sort of question.
That is an interesting question. John, you've been thinking.
I don't know. I just came up to it.
I would probably change it so that Edison actually paid Tesla for his work.
A little bit of political too there. But Tesla.
There's a whole lot of speculation that a good reason that Tesla sort of kind of slowly descended into eccentric crazydom was, I mean, he lived for so long trying to spend so much time getting the money for his inventions that it was so exhausting on him and taxing on him rather than, you know, originally Edison was sponsoring him and then he just pulled the rug out from under him. Huh. It'd be interesting to see what, if they actually worked together, what they could have done. Rather than Edison being, well, Edison. A world without the current wars would be something kind of interesting to see.
And on which side do you come down on the current wars?
Believe it or not, as much as I have the utmost respect and admiration for Tesla, I'm on Edison's side on that one. Because you can have the most brilliant idea, but it's all about making it work and getting the business side of things going. And for as much as Edison screwed over one man, he helped a whole lot of science and pushed through a whole lot of innovation to make our modern world what it is. So yeah. I'm in the minority on that one, but I understand that. But it's also, yeah, I take kind of a big picture approach.
But you're also on the winning side, so, you know, winning.
It's about the only time I am usually. But yeah.
Well, let me ask you this too. How did you get involved in? We'll switch back to the steampunk side of it because it is its own kind of a not kind. It is. It's its own art genre, if you will. How did you get involved in steampunk, and what kind of drew you towards it?
Believe it or not. Burlesque is kind of my entry point officially, but unofficially I was always a fan of it. I just didn't know there was a word. I didn't realize it, but because when I was growing up, a lot of the things I was into was all the retro and older things, like the video games I played back when I played video games were along the lines of Final Fantasy. My favorite like my favorite anime was a lot of Miyazaki's earlier stuff. And I liked that old aesthetic science fiction-y element to most things I kind of really got excited about. And my amazing wife, who's a burlesque superstar at this point, wanted to do a Clockwork Doll act. And at the time I had just heard this new band, it was about 2003 or four, maybe. I had heard of Abney Park, and by 2008 they had put out a different take on their old albums, and their new sound was something I was really getting excited about. And so I said, "Oh, this is perfect song for you to do your Clockwork Doll number two." And so she picked the song from Abney Park. I started helping her with her costume, and she said she'll only do this if I get dressed up and put her up on stage, because I don't get on stage ever. And so, I rarely do. I don't, it's just not for me. but I always, support the subculture as much as I could. And so there I was, dressed up in this Victorian outfit, to bring up this clockwork girl up on stage to take her clothes off. And, the MC was sitting there saying, "All right, what should I introduce your friend as?" Because normally you don't introduce the guy kind of bringing in the girl, but you just introduce the girl. So on a kind of a lark, Tallulah very quickly just said that out, "Dr. Q," because everyone calls me Q anyway. She'd add a doctor in front of it. And that is how I kind of got officially thrown into something called steampunk and was up there in a costume and everything. And the rest is history.
The rest is kind of history. That's very cool.
Nice. Lee?
It is. I was going to say it was it is interesting how much I've seen as burlesque, interest in burlesque has increased, or even some, I would say also some of the aspects, the better aspects of vaudeville have increased. I've also seen how steampunk and those have merged together. Most of mine has been at two conventions, one of them, of course, being Dragon Con, where I have seen steampunk. So I find it very interesting how we're doing that. But I'm sorry, John. I'm supposed to be asking a question, but I don't know what you want me to ask yet.
Oh, it's whatever. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Just say something, Lee. Normally, I can't get you to shut up, and now I just want to. Oh no, I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. No medication today.
go have an adult beverage medication.
Let's make this less awkward, shall we?
Yeah, awkward. Okay, so question is: now you said you're not going to be up in all your panels. Very proud of you for doing that. What are you hoping to get to around Dragon Con this year? Is there anything you're like, "I really hope I get to see this"?
There is, there are two things I really want to, well, three actually, that I really want to check out. One of them is, of course, being a little biased here, I'd like to go see the burlesque show that Tallulah loves putting on, namely because she's my wife, but also because it's the best idea I think I've heard for burlesque at a pop culture convention like what we have. Tallulah loves putting on something called the Glamour Geek Review, in which she is required, and I mean she's really vetted each and every burlesque performer, so that they're not just putting on something to cater to the geeks. They need to know what it is, and have a passion for whatever it is they're coming up and dancing as. So if there's a girl doing a go-go dance to Star Trek, you rest assured she will know exactly all there is to know from a fan perspective about that show.
Okay.
So she's really kind of put a lot of thought into it. And the Glamour Review, I definitely want to go see.
When is that tentatively scheduled for?
That is scheduled for Saturday at midnight.
And that is because that is in a very big room, and it's also one of those after dark things, so therefore that is probably pretty darn scheduled.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Haha.
Well, we always like to put the tentative word in front of everything that we say. So
most parts of scheduling are tentative. The only things you can usually kind of count on are your late night programming, because they tend to be the same every year. But everything else tends to kind of fluctuate with the wind. But I definitely want to see her show if I can make it. I would like to see a Warehouse 13 panel.
They're awesome. Come on, any of them.
I'm going to try. And I would also like to go see Sylvester McCoy.
Oh. Sylvester McCoy is awesome. And
he's such a sweet guy.
I saw the panel that Caro was talking about on your podcast on DCTV, and I was like, wow, I had the utmost admiration for the guy after that panel, and I definitely want to go see him again.
Which panel was that? Because I didn't look.
It was the one where Sylvester McCoy, after the interview part, kind of grabbed the microphone, jumped down into the audience, and started just wandering through this auditorium of 1,500 people, directly asking them questions, like, as, hey, you've got a question? Shoves the microphone in their face and then answers it to them and then keeps going around and around. I mean, he was just so full of energy and just so excitable, and he had this amazing life, just talking about his vaudevillian days, his days of, you know, working for a carnival sideshow, the early talk show circuit, the whole nine.
Because I think I have like 3 hours of Sylvester McCoy video from various panels I had to record for other folks that hasn't found its way to the web yet. So I wasn't sure if I had that particular, which I don't. That was a different one that wasn't recorded by me. So, but anyway, Sylvester McCoy and the what was it? What was the first thing called?
Is that Tlulov's Glamour Geek Review?
Glamour Geek Review. Okay.
Yeah, the Glamour Geek Review, which is the Dragon Con burlesque show. Definitely want to check out a Warehouse 13 panel, and hopefully if I can make it, Sylvester McCoy. And as an honorable mention, I'd like to try to make it to a Guild panel.
Oh, yeah.
Namely only because the last season that I saw on Netflix was very steampunk focused, and I was laughing the entire time, and I definitely want to catch into that. I'm half convinced to change our track's motto to the Euro Trash of Nerddom based on that last season.
Nice.
Well, we tend to be the prettiest and the snootiest. I certainly don't mind owning up to that.
Go for it. Woo-hoo.
Where is your track currently located? Where will it be located, at least? Is it still in the Westin?
It is in the, yes, it's still in the Westin. We've got two rooms this year, which was a very unknown fact last year, but we've got International A, which is going to be like a round table room, and International BC is a standard track room. So we've got two rooms, and they're both right in the Westin on your right as soon as you walk in through the spot on the street level.
Now, I know in the past they did sort of a mini art show. Is that going to go on again this year or no?
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't even know there was a second room. But this time around, it is just nothing but panels running in both rooms the entire time.
Okay. Well, they had the show. It was like a show and tell for all the steampunk.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Like the steampunk artifacts.
I call it
steampunk thing.
Art show. Yeah.
I think what you're talking about was the steampunk exhibition.
Yes.
That's the word.
That is probably the biggest pull to the track. So of course we're doing it again. However, we've rebranded it, and we've kind of gotten them a lot tighter as to what the qualifications are. Because at its heart, you're exactly right. It's supposed to be a personal steampunk show and tell. And so we wanted to kind of keep it that way. So it's called the Gadgeteer Showcase. It is Saturday.
Yes.
It'll be Saturday from 4 to 6:30, tentatively. And the Atlanta Ballroom, also tentatively. You know how all that works with the tentative caveat. 4 to 6:30, September 1st, Saturday. It used to be on Sunday, but the logistics of having both the gigantic show and tell followed by the track party was just a whole lot to ask from my staff to do all in one day. So we moved that part of it to Saturday, and then to focus on track party on Sunday.
And for your track party, is there a dress requirement?
There is a dress suggestion.
Okay.
We are doing the Mechanical Masquerade. It's going to be Sunday starting at 8:30 in the Peachtree Ballroom. Almost all of our stuff is in the Westin. Hopefully it will remain so. We are suggesting for folks that do not have a fancy steampunk outfit, that all we are suggesting is that formal wear and a mask. Because to be quite honest, formal wear for ladies or gentlemen has not changed in 200 years much.
That's
true. You know, a long evening gown is still a long evening gown. A gentleman's suit is still a gentleman's suit. It doesn't matter. And so formal wear and a mask or a steampunk fancy dress attire, that is what we're suggesting. However, absolutely anyone in a costume or anyone at all with a DragCon badge, more than welcome to come out and have a party. It does not matter.
And now, speaking of costumes, do you have a, I know that you've, you cosplay a bit. Do you have any particular costumes that you've, people would know you from being in or that you've really enjoyed seeing in steampunk?
Funny you should mention that. First picture the second time I ever saw myself in a costume that I had a picture of me taken that I saw on the internet, your website, The Unique Geek, was the second time I saw it. The first was the AJC. But the funny thing is, at the time I was working for a very conservative law firm, so they then hold their Sunday edition paper to me when I get in Tuesday. Of me in my steampunk Captain Marvel outfit and going, when were you going to tell us about this?
Did you actually get in trouble for that or no?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
It's when I learned that most attorneys secretly want to be geeks. They're just too afraid of the repercussions. It's true. I honestly thought I'd get in trouble, and instead they were like, "That is so amazing! That is so cool!" They were all excited for me that I get dressed up in costumes and go out to these events. So it's neat.
Yeah, and I remember that Captain Marvel outfit is so freaking cool. I mean, you did such a great job with that.
Oh, thank you. The idea I had for it, like, Captain Marvel is one of my favorite superheroes, and I wanted to do a steampunk version of something. So the idea was to do Shazam, which is the magic word that Billy Pattinson says to turn to Captain Marvel,
right.
To do it as six different gadgets that gave him his quote-unquote powers. So each prop or, you know, each piece on my costume was representing a power. Like the goggles were like Solomon's Wide Array goggles, Herculaneum bracers, the Atlantean girdle, Professor Otto von Zeus's lightning gun, Achilles, XXX proof whiskey, courage in a bottle, and Mercury Company's experimental flying ace jetpack. So that's what all that was. It was a lot of fun. It was probably my favorite costume I've ever put together, and easily the one I spent the most time on. But it was good. I did it for 2 years ago, and again last year. And I think I'm going to retire it for a little bit, and it needs to be patched up and fixed a lot before I do it again.
Now, have you found it, you personally, have you seen anything that you were like, wow, that's really cool as a steampunk? What is the, what's the costume that you've seen that wasn't made by you?
Oh, just really, there's so many of them. Generally, I mean, I couldn't even point to anyone particularly, but the overall amount of incredibly costumed people that show up for the steampunk shows that we do, are just mind-blowingly good. I mean, I really couldn't even begin to just single out any one person.
Have there been any steampunk zombies yet?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen them yet. I mean, I've seen the wonderfully done X-Men. I think it was last year. It might have been the year before. In steampunk, I've seen. Let's see.
The Dr. Xavier wheelchair was probably one of the coolest
yes,
things.
That was awesome.
For that
yeah.
one, yes.
That would be Daniel, and Daniel is on a number of our panels, and that wheelchair is fully motorized, has sound effects, blows smoke, and in the back of it is a bubbling liquid of adult beverage that is served on the side of the chair.
Now, so in other words, he's cheating. Getting around Dragon Con so he can actually get fall down drunk in his costume and actually not have to worry about falling down. Don't
he does not even need to stand up. It's fantastic.
It's genius, really, when you think
it's
about
brilliant.
It.
It brilliant.
It is super brilliant. Yeah.
brilliant.
What was it? I forgot what the next question was I going to say about that. That gets sidetracked by thinking about, is there some way that I could actually work that out into something? I could fake an injury, I suppose.
No. You have right. to tape things. Not allowed.
He did warn me that it makes for getting around the con to take twice as long.
That is probably true. And while we're on that note, and I know I've said this before, and I hate to sidetrack this again. Courtesy, folks. In this case, not really necessary, given the fact that he's not really doesn't really need the wheelchair, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But those folks that do need the wheelchair or have yes. walkers or whatnot, please be the bigger person and step out of the elevator. Let them have some room on the elevator. Give them some space to get through. Because even if they could just go straight through the con with people stepping side to side, it still takes them longer than you walking. So please show some common courtesy when – and I believe we will have someone from what's it called?
Yes.
Services.
Disability services.
Disability
yes,
services.
We are going
to
have somebody
On to talk a little bit more about this, but just on a common courtesy, please be the bigger, I don't know, dwarf or elf or
hobbit
whatever,
or hobbit. Whatever,
yeah. And
be a
step
superhero.
Aside. Step aside.
Even if you're not in costume.
There you go. That's a great one. Actually, you know, disability services should use that as their, you know, slogan.
We can tell them that.
Anyway,
there we go.
Sorry to sidetrack the conversation that way, but whenever I get an opportunity to mention that, it really
you sidetracked a conversation. I'm stuck.
I know. So, guests.
Okay.
Dr. Q, if.
As you
or
said,
Doc,
you don't have media guests, but. If
well,
you did, or.
This year, we actually do have a media guest that's pretty exciting.
Ooh.
Bruce Boxleiter, otherwise known as Tron, or the. I've never
Scarecrow.
Seen Babylon 5, yeah. but. He was also in Babylon 5 and Scarecrow from Scarecrow and Mrs. King.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers and How the West Was Won.
Tron Steampunk. Yes. Has that been done yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And there's also a t-shirt for it on tfury.com.
Ah, okay. All right, go on. So Bruce Boxleitner.
Bruce Boxleitner is producing a television show called Lantern City. Lantern City is going to be a by steampunks for steampunks TV show that may get picked up by a cable company, but even if it doesn't, it's going to come up on the web as a web series. And
nice.
Bruce is putting his own money behind it. He's producing it himself. He's got his team together, and he's got art consultants that make up probably some of the biggest names in steampunk that there are. So we've got a panel called What is Lantern City to allow Bruce himself to explain it to everybody. About what it's going to be, where the loose framework of the story, when to expect the premiere, we hope, and the ways for fellow steampunk people to have their own work shown in the show.
Ooh.
Okay. Nice.
Very cool.
It is really cool. And one of the one of the artistic directors is a vendor at Dragon Con every year. Thomas Williford works at he is Brute Force Leather, otherwise known as the really cool steampunk arm seen on Nathan Fillion in the Steampunk Castle episode. He totally made that. And he is one of the artistic, he's one of the four art directors for Lantern City. He'll also be on the panel.
Awesome.
That is when I'll actually be on just to moderate and make sure we keep track of time and things moving. But, I'll immediately be there more to kind of speak questions at him. So
when is that tentatively scheduled for?
That is tentatively scheduled for, they just moved it last week. So I need to double check. I'd been saying the wrong time. That is going to be a Sunday at 2:30 PM in the Atlanta Ballroom.
All right. Sunday.
Cool. Woohoo.
So keep an eye out for that. But if you could have some other guests, any three guests, living or dead, Lee,
but not a zombie because zombies scare me.
Who would they be?
Nikola Tesla, Mark Twain, and Oscar Wilde.
Wow, someone's been doing their homework. Awesome.
He was ready for that.
He got that right off the
You asked that one to everybody, so I was set for that.
You're set for that one.
Well, it's, you know, tradition.
You did throw him a curveball with the earlier question, though. You did.
Yes, you did. You got me on that one. But Nikola Tesla, for obvious reasons, there would be lines out the back. But I would really want a Mark Twain and Oscar Wilde Duel of the Wits contest.
Oh,
that would be amazing.
You could sell admission to that. Like, it would be its own con right there.
That'd be fantastic. But,
yeah. That would be my dream living of guests that no longer are with us.
Wow. Do you have any living folks that would that you'd like to see? Not necessarily for your particular track, but also just for the convention in general.
Well, I'm a big comic book nerd.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that we get a whole lot of really quality comic book comic book people mm-hmm. coming in. This way we got Stan Lee coming in. We've got I think recently announced, actually, there's some new news on that front. Today, and I don't know when this is going to air, but they are getting Neil Adams, otherwise known as kind of making a lot of the definitive looks for some of the old DC characters from the 70s. He's coming in. George Perez is coming. But I'd really like to see some of the senior level folks from Dark Horse or Robert Kirkman coming in. Or heck, even Jim Lee or Dan Didio. That would be awesome.
Oh.
But we're not, like, Dragon Con is known for being pop culture and then some, but we're slowly amassing more of a credentialed guest spots for senior comic book creators. And I like seeing that we're getting better and better with those rather than merely getting comic book folks from 20, 30 years ago. Which is great, and I love them, and no disrespect, but I'm glad we're getting more current and more actively engaged members of the comic community, which is great for me. I always take my lunch break at one point during the weekend and go through the comics and Pulp Art Room, go check out all the comic under like the comic area and the art show and all that. That is one of my assigned lunch breaks every year. It's great. It's always a must see if you're going.
Oh, awesome! Very cool. Very cool.
So where can folks find information on you and or your track on the worldwide web, as it were?
There's tons of places. For the track specifically, we've got a Facebook group and a Twitter, both of which you can easily access at alternatehistory.dragoncon.org, which has our website completely remodeled. We've got all of our events, our guests, our schedule, even a downloadable PDF grid, and staff bios, the whole works. But on there, you'll have quick links to our Facebook and our Twitter. For myself, I'm at DJ Dr. Q on Twitter. My team as a whole, we're the Artifice Club. You can find us at www.theartificeclub.com, which will also, there'll be links there to the alternate history track. That's how you stalk us on the web.
Yay, stalking.
Sweet. And as I tell everyone, if you didn't get all that, if you're driving or whatever, just head over to theuniquegeek.com and we will have links to those sites to get you to where you need to go for that kind of stuff. So the big highlights for your track are the Gadgeteer Showcase, right? That's September.
Oh, yep. To go in order, we've got something that is brand new to, I really think, any of the fan tracks. And Lee, please correct me if I'm wrong. We're doing an official on the program listed track party on Thursday night.
Oh, Thursday night.
Yes.
Nice.
Thursday. Wow. Oh, Lord.
The reason being is Cindy had previously just done an informal, meet and greet of the track fans at an Irish pub right by the Westin. And year after year.
Yeah, I know what I was talking about.
We'd filled it up so much that you couldn't really move around. You couldn't hear what was going on. It got just to be so many people in a tight private room that we couldn't do it. So I'd asked permission and got the good graces to give this a try to see if it works. And we're going to do something called the Aether Lounge, where it's just going to be me. Another member of my staff is Emmett Davenport of the Clockwork Cabaret Radio Show. She and I are going to just DJ really mellow, laid back, low key music. And the focus is going to be a mix and mingle in the Atlanta Ballroom from 8:30 to 11 on Thursday, which for folks that don't know that are your early arrivers is you don't need your badge. So if you arrive a little too late and you don't have your badge yet, don't worry about it. You just come in the Atlanta Ballroom, meet the folks that are going to DragonCon.
And do remember, because Thursday is not the official start of DragonCon. It starts officially on Friday.
It is an official pre-party.
And the only reason I say that is because I think we're constantly going more and more. Like, I'm doing stuff Wednesday and Thursday for DragonCon.
I'm really excited about it, but
it is a matter of time before Thursday becomes day.
Doc is doing his best to make sure that that happens.
And Doc has already led us down the road to hell.
I will wave that flag, because everyone I know shows up Thursday anyway. I mean,
I used to show up Thursday. Now I show up Wednesday, because Thursday, you know, I need time to get myself acclimated, and then Thursdays get so busy.
So, Thursday we got the Aether Lounge. Friday, the thing to probably go see would be Steampunk, The Evolution of the Revolution, in which we have four really big names of steampunk debating on what it is. Because if you ask anyone what steampunk is, you'll get a different answer every time, and that's kind of what's great about it, but also why there is also this what is steampunk, what isn't it. And so there's going to be a good little debate of what it is, where it's going, what it's becoming, and whatnot, which will be a great thing to see. Saturday, we've got the Gadgeteer Showcase. We've also got, I think, the Desperate Steampunk, the ways to make a costume without knowing how to sew. Then there's also on Sunday is the Lantern City panel, as well as our track party called the Mechanical Masquerade, which is going to be fantastically fun. We're going to have two live bands and two more DJs, and we'll be going pretty much all night until they kick us out. The live bands is Megan Jean and the KFB and the Aeronauts. Monday we're going to recover.
What is the last track that you do on Monday?
I was looking at a lot of the other tracks programming when I came into the job, and I like how a whole lot of tracks have a bookend, like, you know, the now starting on our track and now ending. So I have the All Aboard the Alt History track at the beginning and End of the Line at the end. Kind of use the train thing. But Monday I've kind of focused a good chunk of the Monday panels for industry-based things, for people wanting to get their alternate history book published, or people that are going to all these steampunk conventions in this circuit, how to make that work, or if you're wanting to do things like that, what you need to look out for, how to organize your own airship or your own club, things like that. Very industry-focused paneling on Monday, because honestly, most of the folks that are still there on Monday going to panels are in this for the long haul. So that's the kind of big focus on Monday.
Cool.
Okay. Well, that is all very cool. So, yay! Can't wait.
All right.
Well, that'll be great.
As of the recording of this episode, what do we got? Anybody look? Because I didn't.
Anything what? Say it again. I'm sorry.
I said at the beginning of this episode. Oh, 26 days from today.
I said 26.
Oh, okay. If we aren't prepared now, again, go borrow Doc Q's time machine. See if it works. Because you're running out of time.
Because you're in a little bit of trouble.
And by the time we get this out, it'll probably be like 23 days. So until the until the countdown.
My countdown timer says 25 days.
Right. So does mine. I don't know what happens with the it was funny, and I mentioned this before. We were in lockstep with the DragonCon countdown. I look at the DragonCon site to get the day, and then somewhere around, 35 days out, all of a sudden, their day dropped back a day, and mine was up a day. And I went to go, well, maybe I got the wrong number here. But no, I don't know.
Well, I just refreshed mine, because I was looking at it last night, and I hadn't refreshed it. That's where it said 26. So it's actually 25 on the DragonCon.
Oh, it does say 25 days now?
It does say 25
days. Oh, it does say 25 days.
I just refreshed. Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
It's just hard to believe.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I don't... whatever. There's just a short amount of time left. Just a few short weeks. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Until then. But, again, thank you, Doc, for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Always our pleasure. And this is, of course, John for Lee and Dr. Q saying until next time, peace.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter. @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.